I really wonder sometimes
if some of you believe there is a pit. Or if some of you really believe there is such thing as a God. Turn over to the book of John, if you will. Let's read just a little bit. The book of St. John. And turn to the sixth chapter. The 16th verse of the 6th chapter. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid, but he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the works of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? When Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. All right. Now, there's two outstanding things here that Jesus spoke of. In the 68th verse, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Okay, words of eternal life. Words of eternal life. They spoke another thing here in the 63rd verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right, now, those things carry the same reference right there. Both of those things are one and the same. The reference to it is eternal life, or the words of eternal life. And then the other term that he used is, my words are spirit and they are life. So it's one and the same. You know, in the day that we're living in, we get the impression, or we seem to feel that if we work great miracles and signs and wonders, that the world will follow after us. But Jesus pointed out here that the world is not altogether interested in signs and wonders. There is something that's greater to mankind than miracles. Now you say, Brother Pike, what is greater to mankind than miracles? What will a man leave miracles for to follow? His belly. His belly is the greatest thing. Jesus said here, You did not seek me, nor did you come over the sea, over here to Capernaum, because you saw miracles. He said, but because of your belly. Because of your belly, he said, you saw the fishes and the loaves, and you felt like that was a way to get around having to labor. That was a way to get around responsibility. Now you had some supernatural person that could go around working miracles and just bring fishes and loaves so you could just sit around and eat. Isn't that something? Now you say, Brother Pike, it doesn't say that. He said, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Isn't that what he said? That's what the Bible said. All right, so then Jesus went on preaching, and finally he got around to his text or his message, and he said, Remember, the thing that is important is not the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing, Jesus said. He said, My words are spirit, and my words are life. And said, this is the thing that you want to get a hold of, is spiritual words and life. Is that right? That's what we need to get a hold of, is words of life. When we begin to hunger and thirst, not after the things of this world, but the things of God. When we get such a spiritual hunger that we want to go after the things of God, then we'll find out that God will do something for us. This is the thing that I enjoy the most, is the Word of God.
Now, the thing that we're interested in is the Word of God. I'm interested in the words of life, the words of spirit, and the words of life. I'm interested in that. That's the thing that the world needs today, is words of spirit and words of life. Jesus said to them there, he said, as he spoke to them, he said, you've got to eat my flesh. Somebody would say today, they say, you know that doctrine of little Bethlehem, that's a strange doctrine. They teach that people ought to wear long dresses. But what if I mix that a little bit? And I'd say, well, folks, we don't just believe in long dresses, but we believe you've got to eat our flesh. Amen. They'd say the bunch of cannibals, not only are they crazy and wearing long dresses, but they believe in eating human bodies. No doubt they thought Jesus was a cannibal. The Bible said many of them didn't walk with him anymore. Now, why was that? Because they were not spiritual. Isn't that right? Why did Jesus preach like that? Why does preachers preach like they do today? Why is it that they say the things that they do today? And thousands of people back away and leave them and won't walk with them. Why does God let them say things like that? Because God knows that they that are spiritual will get those things. God knows that they that are seeking the Spirit, that God will quicken those things to them. And that something will take place in their lives. Why did Jesus preach such a preaching? Why did he preach such a message? When he got there and stood before them, and he said, I'm the bread of life. Can you picture somebody, a man walking around? They say, who is this man that talks about being the bread of life? Why, we remember when he was born over there, Mary is his mother and Joseph is his father. Isn't that right? So then he said, who is this man? Who is he? What is he talking about? Why does he say that you got to eat his flesh? Drink his blood. What kind of cannibal is that? And the Bible said, they reasoned among themselves and said, this man says he come down from heaven. Who ever heard of anybody coming down from heaven? Somebody said, well now, Brother Pike, that was Jesus. Jesus could say that. Then why was it said of John that a man was sent from God? Why did he say it about John? The Bible said it's just like it spoke of Jesus, it spoke of John. Isn't that right? Do you realize that God in the Old Testament through the prophets spoke of the coming of Jesus Christ? But did you know that the prophets also spoke of the coming of John the Baptist? Did you know that? See, it was God with John just like it was God with Jesus. You say, but Brother Pike, you couldn't tell anybody to eat your flesh. The Bible said, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You got to digest the prophet too. You got to digest the preacher too. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So then Jesus said, my words are spirit. And my words are life. What we need is a spiritual application to our experience with God. When we feed our bellies all the time and we're about 300 pounds more than we ought to be, we don't do nothing but just sit around and eat and drink and eat and drink. How can we be spiritual? We're never going to be spiritual because our minds is on our bellies. We make our bellies our God. But what we need to do is to get down to business with God. And we need to get spiritual. We need to spend a little time with God, talking about the things of God, getting right with God, getting in the Spirit, getting a hold of some spiritual words. It's no wonder we don't have any more get up and go, any more ego, any more drive. We don't have any spirit in us a lot of times. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. In the early church, those men and women was filled with the Spirit of God. Why, they couldn't sit down. They couldn't just go over here and flop down somewhere and sit there and eat cake and cookie. The Spirit of God was on the inside of them. There was something churning on the inside. The prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. There was something on the inside. I said, I won't preach no more. He said, but that thing burned like a fire on the inside of me. I couldn't sit down. If you really had God on the inside of you, you couldn't just sit down like that. There'd be something driving you night and day. Brother, when you get the Spirit of God, you got something. Did you know that? Why, we act like we think the Spirit of God is just like we go out here and take a drink of water or something. You know, you take a good glass of water and you fill your belly up with water. But folks, that ain't like God. God is live. When you get God's Spirit on the inside, something happens to you. There is something that gives you a drive. There is something that elevates you above this world. There is something that begins to push you and cause you to want to do something for Jesus Christ. Something motivates your inner being. Hallelujah. And you wake up and you get stirred up. And you don't drowse and go to sleep and have... Look, I see some of you sometimes just sitting out there like this and you shut your eyes and you'll open your... Shut your eyes and you'll open your... When you've got God's Spirit on the inside of you, you're not going to do nothing like that. Especially in God's house. Somebody said, well, I'm tired and sleepy. Well, you need to go to sleep about 6 months and wake up and be about the Father's business. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We need to be about God's business. We eat all through the day and we come to church in the evening. We just can't hardly drag and we just wore slap out. Somebody said, I just can't hardly make it. It ain't because you need rest so much. It's because you eat so much and put so much in your belly, it makes you tired to carry it. Now somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I don't mean to load, you know, like carrying a basket. But I mean you stuff your belly so much, it makes you tired to carry it. You overwork your heart so much until you actually get tired to carry it. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. I tell you what you do, you go on about a 3-day fast and see if about 3 or 4 hours a night sleep will do you. I guarantee it'll do you. You'll find out that you're not sluggish and you'll find out that you're not sleepy and you'll find out that you'll roll and toss and roll and toss at night and you'll find out you don't need but about a third of that sleep that you're getting. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, well, I got a tummy ache, and I got a headache, and I got a backache, and I got this kind of ache, and I got the flu, and I got this, and I got that. Why don't you get rid of it? Do something for God. It's no wonder you got it. You sit around and do nothing. You're bound to catch everything that comes along. I know sometimes people get sick. I know sometimes people get the flu. I know sometimes things go wrong with them. It goes wrong with me. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But folks, when somebody just got a crutch all the time, they got a grumble and they got a complaint and they've got this and they've got that. They need to get right with God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. If you don't encourage me, I'm going to encourage myself and just keep on preaching. So then let's do something for God. Let's wake up. Shake ourselves. Get loose. Do something for God. Praise God if it ain't nothing but paint a building. If the building needs painting for God, paint the building. If it ain't nothing but dig a ditch and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, why are you digging it? Do something for God. Don't just sit around and let your belly use your life up. Bible said all of you labors for your belly because your belly craves it of you. You keep powdering your nose and you keep combing your hair and getting the pretty suit and doing this and after a while you're going to look in the mirror and your nose is going to be turned up this way and your ears are going to be crippled up and wrinkled, going to be cut across the face like somebody sliced up with a knife from old age. Then what are you going to do? All of your labor went for that belly and went for that face and went for that body. Didn't accomplish nothing. You need to do something for God. Praise God. Do something with your money. Give your money to God. Take it and give it to God. Somebody said, now, Brother Parker, you're ready to take an offering? No, maybe Brother Taylor will get around to that. Or Jimmy or some of us. But we do take them around here. How do you know we take them around here? They can give us another write-up. Now, give some of what you got to God. Share with God. Quit being so greedy and selfish and putting it all in your belly. You're just getting bigger all the time anyway. I've heard of people getting 500, 600, and 700 pounds. Just putting it in their belly. Getting to where they eat 6 and 7 chickens at one time and 3 or 4 loaves of bread at one time. That's horrible, isn't it? Devils and demons of gluttony. Somebody said that, praise God, there's one thing about it. I'll never do that. You don't have to. You got an old sex devil. You got to have 5 or 10 wives if it's on the side. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Or husbands. Somebody said, I'd never be like that. You don't have to. You're so money hungry that you'd do anything. Cut a man's throat to get a dollar. You do it every day. You cut corners and pull strings and do this or that, and you're worse than the big fat man. You're like the big fat lazy whale that's in the waters doing nothing. cutting everybody's throat, trimming up and saying, I can't afford to pay this and I can't afford to do that. And you'd cut a man's throat to keep a dollar. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And I might say, why are you preaching about that, Brother Pike? Because that's what I feel like preaching about tonight. See, I preached about the other night. That's right. Some of you are so money hungry that you'd squeeze a dollar to take a dollar away from a man. You'd squeeze that dollar if you knew good and well it was going to kill your baby or kill your wife or whatever. You'd still take a chance to do it. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, there's nobody in the world that would do that. I heard of a man one time that made the statement. He said, if I had every dollar in the world and could get every penny in the world, and if there wasn't but one penny and it was on a limb on a tree out over hell, I'd climb out there and get it. You say, oh, nobody like that. That's what the man said. As far as I know, he's in hell. The limb must have broke with him. Because as far as I know, he's in hell right now. Not sharing anything with God. What are you doing? What are you piling it up for? What's your plans? Say, well, I got to have a house. Why have you got to have a house? I got to have a car. Why have you got to have a car? I've got to have some land. I've got to have this. Why have you got to have it? You're going to die and leave it. Say, well, I got to have it from a wife. Well, she's going to die and leave it. Well, I got to have it from my children. They're going to die and leave it. Ain't nobody going to get it. You ain't going to have it, and she ain't going to have it, and they ain't going to have it. You say, but they got to have a place to live. Then let's lay up treasures in heaven and go over there where we're going to live. Let's make an investment in the place we're going to. I think the wise thing to do is invest in the place you're going to. And brothers, some of you are investing in it. It's the pit of hell that you're investing in. Some of you are invested in the pit of hell. You're giving all of your time, all of your money, all of your efforts, all of you doing, you're daily investing in your future. But you know what, saints of God, we need to invest in our future. Did you know that? Isn't that good to say, saints of God, we need to invest in our future? Hallelujah. I love to be numbered with the righteous, don't you? We need to get down to business, and like I said this morning, get a little virtue in our heart and get a little fire in our bones and get a little stirred up for God and do a little hollering, a little screaming, a little dancing, a little doing whatever we got to do to get the job done. Not sit around like a bunch of dead folks that can't wake up in the morning, that can't do nothing, that just can't get the job done. I believe we need to do something for God. If a 70-year-old man can go out and win a swimming contest, it looks to me like some of the 30 and 40-year-old men could go out and do something. Seem like they could get up and do something, don't you? I tell you the truth, I'm not lying to you. Some of the ladies, it's a shame the way you keep expanding in your body. Bigger and bigger and bigger. All you do is eat and gossip and eat. And gossip. Don't you ever intend to try to do anything to stop that devil of gluttony, to get rid of it, to make any effort to shape up for God? Some of the men are the same way. Just eat, 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 all the time eat. Don't you love the Lord? Now, if there ain't nobody guilty here, you ought to be able to say amen. But now, if you're guilty, this sermon ought to be preached. All right. So I said, well, Brother Pike, you act like you're all stirred up. I am. I'm stirred up. We said, well, why are you so stirred up? Because you ain't stirred up. If you was all stirred up, maybe I wouldn't be stirred up. I imagine when Jesus came through the temple, you know, and they were sitting there picking their teeth, you know, and I'm just supposing the way it might have been, Jim, and they sitting there counting their money and flipping their money and shooting to the line for a Coke. Didn't have Coke in those days. But probably had the Coke bean. Sitting around and having a party in the house of God, and somebody running a cow through here and a pig through there and whatever they had in that day. Man, don't you know that upset God? Big, fat, lazy people sitting around doing nothing. He went through there and he began to turn over the tables. And I imagine money went everywhere when he flipped that table over. I imagine them boys was down there on their hands and knees scrambling around like a bunch of pigs trying to get a hold of that money. Don't you reckon? Oh, somebody would say, well, I wouldn't do that. But I tell you today, I slapped my little Danny's hand because he wouldn't get away from the machine. He had 5 pennies and it went everywhere. And here come a real dignified lady and she went down after that penny as quick as she could. She lost all of her dignity that quick. But she saw them pennies on the floor. Money does something to folks. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, I wouldn't lose my dignity like that. You've lost yours a lot worse than that. That's right. The way you fight over windows out here, and somebody said, he got my windows, the window washers, you know. Somebody said, he got my house over there. I contracted for that house. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We're talking about the street you live on now. And he said, well, what street is that? It's Crooked Street. All right. The song said, let's move over to Glory Avenue. I really believe in my heart, brethren, that it's time that we quit running after our bellies, don't you? Jesus said, all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you. He said to them people, said, you follow me because you want to feed your belly. He said, you saw the fishes and the loaves. What are we interested in out here at Little Bethlehem? Are we just interested in the fishes and the loaves? Or are we interested in getting the words of life? Are we just going to sit around and eat and do nothing and never try to win any souls? Or are we going to get down to business and try to do something for God? I feel like that we ought to do something for God, not just be a bunch of gossipers that just sit around all the time taking somebody apart, but we need to get up and do something for God. You get somebody out here on guard duty and this one gets to talking to this one and this one gets to talking to this one, and the first news you know, they say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, he didn't pay his bills. And old brother so-and-so, there you go. Praise God. You love Jesus.
Amen.
Don't you have nothing better to talk about than somebody that won't pay their bills? Seems me like it'd be a better subject somewhere. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the reason I'm so upset, it's my bill that he won't pay. He owes me. See, that's where the problem is. So you got your mind on money. Somebody said, well, I ain't got my mind on money. I just want him to give me what's mine. You know what Jesus said about that? He spoke about a fellow that he forgave an indebtedness. He said, I forgive a fellow an indebtedness. You know, he gave the parable. And so the king, he forgave this fellow his indebtedness. And the fellow was pretty well satisfied over that. But there's another fellow that owed him a few dollars. And he went over and he said, now we want a payday. And the Bible said that the man heard about it. He heard about it. See, he had forgiven this man all of his indebtedness. But the Bible said he went out and he took the other man by the throat. And the man said, wait a minute, I'll pay you. Just give me a little time. Said, you'll pay or go to prison. And the Bible said, when this king heard about it, he said, tell that fellow to come back here. We're going to have another talk. And said, when that fellow come back, he said, you wretched fellow. He said, I forgive you all that you owed me. He said, and you couldn't rest till you got out there and caught a man by the throat. And you told him you'd throw him in jail. He said, now you're going to go to jail and stay in jail till you pay me every dime that you owe me. See, where is the mercy? Some of you act just like you're going to have a spasm when somebody owes you a dollar too. I can't hardly believe it. I talked to some of you, and you're just all up in the air, and you're just churning, and you're just red in the face, and you're ready to fight the fellow. And as far as Christianity, that slap out of the picture. That's right. If it's a matter of that man owing me $5, and I've got to give my $5 to go to heaven, I'll just go to hell to get that $5. That's your attitude. I met some of you. You was ready just about to kill your brother. And I know for a fact some of you have been just as wretched as you could be. And God's been just as merciful to you as he could be. Somebody come around, you know, they say, did you know brother so-and-so didn't pay his bills? And I think, yeah, I know that. And you don't know it, but I know that you, brother so-and-so, didn't pay yours either. I've done got a report on you too. It's a little farther back and you forgot about yours. It's back there a little farther back, but the Lord let me know about it. So then what you need to do is to leave the brotherhood alone. Let God deal with them. Stop bickering and biting. Stop jumping on them. Stop pouncing on them. Now, if a brother don't pay his debts, as I've said this so many times at Little Bethlehem, if he don't pay his debts, God will get him for it. You haven't got to ride his back all the time. You haven't got to criticize Little Bethlehem and tear down everything we're doing out here, running from place to place and store to store. You don't have to do that. So then let's have a God community. Let's get off the cookies and the cakes. And let's get down to the meat of the word. And let's get down to business. And you people, don't be wearing your long dresses out here and going to town in your pantsuits. Some of you got a write-up. I said, some of you got a write-up. How do you know that? Some of you got a write-up. Now, somebody said, now, nobody don't do that. I happen to know that some of them have done it. That's why God let it be wrote like that, because some of you did do it. Sure you did. See, and some of you want to wear your dresses so tight until it's pitiful. That's right. Some of you ladies that wear long dresses, you'd be better off wearing your dresses up above your knees than to wear them the way that you wear them that's so tight. You need to get you some clothes that's decent. I know you don't like that. You don't like that because I'm talking about your seamster. A seamstress. That's why you don't like it. You say, well, who is he or she? It's either the devil or one of his workmen. Like Brother Branham said one time, the devil was Eve's designer. He looked after her. Some of you ladies need to dress like a lady if you're going to be a lady. You need to get straightened out. And I'll tell you, some of you that's got the long dresses, you got some of the worst spirits I ever seen in my life. I've seen some of you women with the long dresses. I tell you what, some of you take an attitude like an old goat. That's right. Button and a pushing and a fault finding. Always a gossiping and a backbiting. You need to line up right. I might say, Brother Pike, are you speaking against the long dresses? I ain't never preached a sermon against a long dress. A long dress doesn't have any feeling. I'm talking about people that wear the dresses. Like some of these men with their pistol-legged pants. I've tried my best to talk to some of them, and they just laugh and say, Amen, Brother Pike, and the next time they're melted and poured into them, it looks like again. I say, we need to dress right. Amen, Brother Pike, and the next time I see them, they're just like they was to start with. The same old hypocrite. We need to do right. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm still in the Bible. I'm still in the Bible. All right. So then we need to do something about it. God said, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. You might not be a jealous husband, but God said, I'm a jealous God. You're dealing with a jealous God. Did you know that? And brother, he's jealous. He's jealous of every thought you think. He's jealous of every deed you do. He's jealous of every motive behind your deed. God is a jealous God. He said, come out from among them and be ye a separate people. Don't have anything to do with the world. You love Jesus? All right, I'm not through yet. I can feel some of you being turned off, as the world says. But you'll just have to sit there because we ain't through yet. You just turn off too soon. You turn off while the program's finished. All right, so then we need to do something for God. Jesus said, I am that bread that come down from heaven. I'm that bread. Eat my flesh, Jesus said, and drink my blood. And if you don't have any life in you. We need to eat the flesh of the Lord Jesus. We need to drink his blood. We need to get in there and digest, swallow down. You know, if you got a brother over here and you know that brother is a child of God and that brother's stumbling around, that brother is making mistakes, just swallow it down and digest it and go right on. Go right on. Like Brother Branham said, eat the pie and spit out the seed and just keep on going on. See, and some of you ladies running from place to place, they got the name going out here, Roadrunner, for somebody. But I tell you, the way I see it, we got a number of roadrunners, if that's the case. Because it seemed to me like some of you are going all the time. I don't know how your husband lives with you. I really don't. If my wife went like that, I wouldn't want to live with her. Somebody said, are you just jealous? No, I just differentiate between the difference of having a wife or having a road runner. Now, I love my wife. I want my wife at home sometimes. I don't mind if my wife goes to town. Sometimes she goes to town, she might go shopping. Sometimes I don't like it. I can't do nothing about it sometimes. But I don't care. But I tell you, if every time I leave the house or every time I turn my head, she's got to go to town and come back and go to town and come back. And this sister wants her to take her to town. Somebody, you know, the husband say, "Honey, why are you doing all that running around?" I say, "Well, it isn't me. It's that sister over yonder." Ain't you ashamed to lie like that? That sister just knows that you're a good target and she picks you. This one over here says, "Now, old sister roadrunner over here, all you got to do is call on her. She's ready to go." So this one gets her, and that one gets her, and this one gets her, and that one gets her. And the first news you know, here they go. Now, but I want a wife. The Bible said, "Let the woman guard the house. Let her stay at home. Let her guard her children. Let her raise her children up. Let her be concerned about her husband. Let her be discreet. Let her stay around the house. Let her keep a good house." That's the way it ought to be. I spoke about a woman the other day. I told my wife, I was looking through the window. I said, "Oh, there she goes again." I thought, my land, that woman used to didn't be like that. I remember when that woman wasn't like that. And my wife said, "Well, it's because of a sister. She gets her to go." I thought, well, that takes care of it. You know what? I'm going to tell you something, folks. It might be daughter-in-law and son-in-law and brother-in-law and mother-in-law, whatever, but that don't change the Word of God. You don't need to be in the road all the time. The first news you know, you're going to have a wreck and you're going to crash up, and it's going to be too bad because the law, even the law of average, is against you because you go so much. You need to stop it. You need to stop it. Now, we have a problem down at the house sometimes too with the Cadillac. Amen. It stays in the road too much. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Yes, sir. It stays in the road too much. First news you know, you watch and see. Like I'm telling you, I told my wife, I said, "I had a vision, and on the side of that Cadillac, it went smash." I said, "They're going to keep it in the road and keep it in the road until somebody's going to smack it after a while." You can't just keep on doing that, running up and down the road. Every time you get a notion to go somewhere, or you're sitting at home and you get a thought and you want to run up town and see if it's a different colored dress up here, a material up here, you've got to have a new shoe. You've got to have some programized way of life. You got to have some certain time when you get together to go to town. You can't just go to town all the time. There should be some days for that. My grandma used to didn't wash clothes every day. They had a wash day for that. That's what we need to do, folks, is get some system, get programized, get together, get with God, get with the Word, set up some system for our life. That's what we need to do. And when we do that, we're going to have some happy home. We're going to have some happy people. We're going to have some people out here that will live up to some of our write-ups. You say, "What kind of write-ups is that?" I testified that we had ladies out here that believed in God in the home, that wanted to stay in the home, that wanted to do right, that wanted to be mothers, that wanted to be examples for all the world. Isn't that what you want? Or had you just rather always be going through some market up here or some clothing store or some 10-cent store where there's just a jingle, jangle, rock and roll all day because it soothes your mind and soothes your conscience? You must be like Saul. If that is the only soothing feeling that you can get, you must be like Saul. Now, I was going to quit, but I decided to preach a little bit long. I just fixed to quit, and the devil thought it was going to stop, So I'm just going to go on a little bit longer. Now, see, we don't need to do that. I don't want to be going through stores all the time. My wife used to get upset at me because I don't go enough sometimes. I guess I don't. But just you go through a store and you look at the same junk over and over and over and over and over and over. You get up in the morning and you go to the store and you go down the junk alley and you come back up the junk alley and you go back down the junk alley. The next day you're ready to do the same thing while some bebop is going in the background, you know. And some silly looking man's going around with a bow tie looking around the corner. And the lady, she tries to hold herself real erect, you know, and hold her composure because she thinks he might be looking in her direction. Sure, and her poor husband's over there somewhere, some of them doing the same thing. See, you thought he was going to say something else, didn't you? All right, so what we need to do is to get together. If you're married, act like married folks. Either be married. You know, somebody criticized the man that had seven wives. They criticized him. I heard him talk about that man that had seven wives. I believe that man's got more sense than some of the others. At least he just published the fact that he's got seven wives and he's trying to take care of them, while the others has got seven wives and they don't take care but one of them. And they don't do a good job of that. At least he just said what he was. If you're married to a man, be married to him. If you're married to a woman, be married to her. The worst thing I ever heard of in my life. I heard of a law that they passed the other day, and I'm going to close in just a minute. But I heard of a law that they passed the other day in Oregon. It's unbelievable. It is absolutely, fantastically unbelievable. Maybe your wife or your husband can tell it to you. Some of them have been talking about it. But it's unbelievable that any such law can be. But yet it is. It is. All right, let's stand together. Now it looks like I kind of got beside myself, somebody would say. You know, we got a great opportunity, folks. Did you know that? I heard the report the other day that just from Big Gun alone, one radio station that we're on, the report on Big Gun is that they cover potentially 7 million people. Just one radio program alone that we're on covers a potential of 7 million people, just one. And here we are, we've got the responsibility of it. And what we need to do is get up, be about our Father's business, and do something about it. On the TV programs, I thought of it again. Why is it that you that are connected with a TV program, why don't you drive in there, and I mean get down to business. Don't put that TV thing that just to the side and say, well, we'll do this when we feel like it or when we ain't got something else to do. Oh, we'll run up there and get a quickie, you know, and send it off. I don't want that kind of thing, and God don't either. When you pay $300 for one program, we don't want a little quickie. I want somebody to spend some hours and time concerned about it. I want somebody to get in there and do something about it. When they get up here in the radio room, I don't want them to run up there and get a quickie to send off up there that 7 million people may hear just on one program and go all over the country from Pennsylvania to Salem just because they got a few minutes in between. They run up there and say, slip it in right quick and let her go. I don't want that, and God don't either. Hundreds of thousands of dollars spent just so somebody can run in and play a game. I don't want that. If you don't have time to do it, get out of there. Let me get somebody that has got time. And I said, well, Brother Pike, if I get out here, wouldn't have nobody. You mean to tell me that God ain't got nobody in the world that's interested in His work? Don't you ever fool yourself. There's somebody that's interested. When you come to church, don't come in here to get a little quickie and run off. Say, well, we're in there. I hope He gives us 20 minutes tonight. Let's get out of here. You come to church to worship God. You come to church to be with God. You come to church to do something for God. And like now, for instance, here we are. We've been going for how long? I don't know. But now what if all of a sudden say, well, we're going to have a special night tonight. We're going to pray all night. Can't go home. Lock the doors. Oh, somebody's about to explode. Now, wouldn't they? Well, they'd do it for sure. Somebody gets so nervous if they thought they had to stay here for another 3 hours, they couldn't hardly stand it. But I tell you what, let a tornado start ripping the trees up there. Somebody said, well, I'm not too nervous. I feel like we better stay here. See what it is, folks? It's old self-preservation. Isn't that right? Well, I've seen the time when we stayed here for hours and hours and hours when the tornadoes was ripping places up and the radios going on and people crying. And we stayed right here. Everybody was contented to stay right here. I've seen the husband say, honey, let's go home. No, I ain't going down there, that trailer. But then I seen the time when God was trying to speak to you, somebody, they just shift this way and they shift this way, and the baby'd cry and it's so restless. But that baby can sit there for hours and hours when them storms is raging. All right. My, I didn't know I was going to say so much tonight. I love you folks, and I appreciate your spirit, your good attitude. And ain't nobody seemingly in a hurry to go home, so I guess we can dismiss. I want to do something for God. I know I sound like a broke record saying that, but I do. I want to do something for God. I have people come and say, Brother Pike, I want to do something for God, but you don't never do nothing for God. I want to do something for God, but all you do is run the road. If you want to do something for God, come on and let's do something for God. Let's get in here. You that's got offices, I've said this many times, get in there and have some kind of system and get something done for God. If you don't, God's going to take it away from you. He's going to take it away from you sooner or later. He'll take it away from you. You might think he won't, but he will. He'll harden your heart, and the first news you know, you'll be off out yonder gossiping. You'll be off out yonder like Pharaoh, and you'll be shooting back at this and saying, oh, there ain't nothing over there. God will prepare your heart and harden your heart to where you won't see nothing. You'll be as blind as a bat. Just be a little cantankerous and keep on with that old contrary attitude of yours and that old jealous, resentful, fault-finding thing and see if God don't send you over there. I say this in closing tonight. Remember a man that came and stood right here in this pulpit. I warned him and I told him over and over, but he couldn't touch him. No, he couldn't touch him. He knew what he was doing. He'd been in Pentecost a long time. But remember, the report was that he turned to dope, got strung out on dope, got to drinking beer, went and got him a dance hall and done all kind of things. But you couldn't tell him nothing. I tried my best many times to talk with him, but he wasn't going to listen. He had the answers. But folks, you see, he didn't have the answer. God's word is right.
Amen.
You say, well, he was a preacher. It don't make any difference. Preachers is all the same with God. You fellas that say you're called to preach, you better listen. He said he was called to preach too. His granddaddy, as far as I know, was a preacher. You better listen. God loves you, but demons are real. Demons can bind you overnight like Jim Jones and bind you overnight like that man that they just found up there that killed 50. They thought he killed 32 children, boys. I mentioned to you the other night, and now they done found out there's 50 of them that he done found. Don't know how many of them he's killed. Devils and demons. All right. Maybe I get a little bit beside myself. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. I want to do something for Jesus. I want to do it here at Little Bethlehem. I want to do it on the radios. I want to do it on the TV. I want to do it with the newspapers, a printed page, or whatever. It don't make any difference to me. If you have to send up balloons and tie pieces of Bible to it, whatever, let's do something for God. If you have to do like the boy did, tear out pieces of the Bible and put it in bottles and put a cap on it, throw it in the streams and let it float out to the ocean so somebody will find it, let's do something for God. Let's get out here somewhere. If we have to get out here on the side of the road and hitchhike up and down the road and just tell the people that we get in the car with about Jesus, if we can't do nothing else. I don't condone that, but if that's the only way to get the gospel out, let's do it. Let's do something for Jesus. Let's testify. What about all these tracks, hundreds and thousands of tracks? Steve has run out on how many tracks in the last little bit? Thousands upon thousands of tracks, and I dare say there probably ain't three people in this whole church that's really giving out tracks. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand because I think it'll embarrass you. And we talk about we want to do something for God. Let's get busy. I thank God that Brother Fernando and Brother Gonzalo, They're translating. They come over tonight. Boy was watching video and said, let us get in there and translate. And they're translating some of these into Castilian Spanish so that we can reach the world with them. 150 million people, they say, speaks that language. And they done got a number of them translated into that language. Let's do something, folks. See, that's winning souls. Isn't that winning souls? Like Brother Carnes said tonight, he was watching the TV in here. He said, now who had ever thought buildings would be winning souls. Said, look at it. And there it was on TV. Winning souls. Seeing your good work. See, digging them ditches done it. Is that right? All right. Your dollars, your investment, whether it's a tent, whether it's buildings or whatever, Folks, let's do something that ain't nothing but sew a dress. Miss Jackson that came out here, she said she tried to get some of y'all to sew her a dress, make her a dress. She wanted to put on the long dresses. She tried to get somebody to make her a long dress. A wealthy woman, as far as I know, she got a couple of homes up there and a big fine Chrysler, maybe a couple of Chryslers. Come down here to visit and want to be part of it, and said she admired the long dresses, wanted somebody to make her a long dress. See, this cause you ashamed. Everybody ain't.
Praise God.
While you try to hide in the corner and you're afraid to walk down the street in your long dresses, some of the wealthy people are looking over here admiring it. Don't forget the vision I had. I saw the vision. When I saw the vision, it was the ones in the long dresses that was going to make the rapture, and the others wasn't going to make it. That's what the vision showed. I said, well, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I'm just telling you what I saw. The others around that I saw wasn't going to make it. It was the ones that were standing there in the long dresses that was going to make the rapture. Now, that's something to think about. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. You know, the Lord lets you do what you want to. Isn't that right? He'll let you do what you want to. But sometimes when you get what you want, it isn't always what you want. A lot of times it's just what you think you want. So now, brethren, I want you to take to heart what I said. Stay away from some of the Jezebels that I've heard about up here in the paint stores that thinks you're so cute. If you don't, God's liable to send your wife down there one day and catch you just at the right time, and I hope He does. Stay away from her. Quit tearing the brethren down, or God's going to get your case. You men that owe bills, I tell you in the name of the Lord, you get on the telephone or you get out there, you go to them places. I don't care if you can't give them but one penny, you be a man and get out there and quit lying to me. Some of you fellows lying to me. You told me, you said, Brother Pike, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to my creditors. You haven't done it. You lied to me. And something else just came into view. I can't help it if it comes into view.
Praise God.
Some of you others made some promises to God about things you was going to do and things you wasn't going to do. And I got a report on it the other day that somebody tried to talk to some of you about it. And you're still doing it. And you definitely stated you wouldn't do it. Now as far as you doing whatever it is, that's your business. But the Bible said Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. When you lie to the preacher and you lie to the body of Christ, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And somebody's just liable to take you up dead. It's a serious thing, a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You cut square all the way. You be straight. When you tell the brethren something, you be honest with them and you be straight. If you blunder and make a mistake, that's one thing. If you just go out and do it when you know better, that's another thing. There's no sacrifice for willful sin. So let's get in the boat all together. And as I said this morning, it seemed like both of these sermons have centered around one thing, and that's being unionized. Let's get in there and be unionized.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Let's get together. Everybody that's going to be a comrade here, I want to see your hand. Ladies and men alike and children, whatever, want to raise them. I want to see your hand. If you're going to be a comrade here, I'm glad some of you are honest enough not to put them up. At least I know where you're standing. But I'll tell you what, if I ask everyone that didn't put their hands up, everyone that's not going to be a comrade here to put your hand up, I dare say I wouldn't get any, not many, if any, probably not any. So I'm going to ask anyway, everybody that's not going to be a comrade with me, put your hand up. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm just not going either way. I ain't going to say what I almost did. You know what it was anyway. That's where the trouble comes in. That's where your trouble comes in. See, let's go one way or another, brethren. Let's go one way or another. Adley, you believe we ought to go one way or another? All right, let's go one way or another. One way or another, let's don't be double-minded. I'm not trying to be cute.
You know, I hear some of these men talking and saying things and doing things and cutting their brethren down. And they get around me and they talk so sweet and so smooth, so hypocritical. That's right. They get around me, I'd rather they'd be a man and talk like a man than to take me to pieces in their mind and judge me for what they think I am and then try to act as smooth as silk. That's what a hypocrite is. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I got a man standing here now. He thought I was trying to act cute. Looked like he'd have been a man and come out and told me and just spoke out and told me instead of standing there taking me apart in his mind. That's the way to do it. I told you how I felt. Why didn't you do the same thing? I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just as serious as I can be. I might holler, I might scream, I might do something to kind of make you rejoice a little bit and be mellow. Try to do a little something to cause it to be, make it easy for you to be able to digest what I'm saying. But I mean every word of it. You need to do right. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. I need Thee now. Things to you to shake you up, to stir you up. I may say it one way one night, I may say it another way another night, I may say it to somebody on TV another way, and somebody in the papers another way, and somebody on the radio another way. But every way that I say it, every approach that I use, I've got a reason and a motive behind it. That way I reach everybody. I reach everybody. God knows the shoe that fits you. And God wants to do something for you. And He will. But we're going to have to get in the boat with God.